Well, it's a beautiful morning, and I'm thrilled to be able to just also welcome our live stream audience. I am so always in the endeavor to hear from you what you're receiving by the presence of the Lord in our setting is always, I think, intriguing. It's the power of God. And for you who are here, thank you. Maybe this could be your first time here at Hope Chapel. We want to welcome our guests, and visitors never come back. Guests always do. Isn't that true? Can we just thank our guests for coming? Put your hands together and say, yeah. So what we have going on before we launch right into the message today, make sure you get your bulletin card because life group is up and running. Everybody needs to be in a life group. If that's going to follow the leading and the direction of the Lord, then it would be great that we get a chance and sign up for a life group. There's 8 wonderful life groups that are available. And I had a card here, and right next to my birthday card. So you'll see maps where these life groups are held this week. 2 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday. Then we have church on Wednesday for square 1 and 2. Please sign up. This would be the last time to sign up because you're only entitled to miss one of those settings in a 5 Wednesdays. And then we have 3 life groups on Thursday, and then 1 in the morning on Friday. You're going to enjoy those elements. Please get a hold of a life group leader here. You'll find where they're at. They're going to hand you a card. They're going to make sure that you get personally invited, maybe even hold your hand and walk you right to their life group. We would welcome that. We do want to make sure that we jump right on in. I have been seeing people's notes. Some of you have been asking about certain things I'm even about to say. I want to just encourage you now as we focus, especially you and your setting, get something to write. We really realize that the Lord's going to say something to you even today. Maybe that one phrase that you would say, that is the answer to my journey. I've been on a journey, a spiritual hiatus, and God let me see something that really is going to transform the setting of my life. And you want to be able to write that down somewhere because don't trust your memory. I found that if you saw me at men's breakfast yesterday, by the way, Jake Mason crushed it on such a great message. I was writing on our song sheets, on napkins, such a good message. Yes, and I'll tell you, thank you, Jake. You really did an exceptional job. Can we thank them, guys? Wasn't it great? And I want to thank the men, too. Men have raised, by the way, Lance, over $1,700. We just took up a fund collection, and thank you, men, and especially some of your girlfriends or your wives let you have the money. I couldn't believe that. That's but it shows that we're all in and love Lance very, very much. So we're believing we're going to be able to see him back here. He's improving daily, and we're grateful for that. So thank you. Lance is our church administrator, and boy, we sure do miss him. And none as much as me. So we're sure grateful we get a chance to keep praying. So with that, let's go and take a look at our message, and let's begin to start writing notes. It's going to be important. So before we even launch into our series, here's a cute one, because you always want to ask, what's the little humor for today? Heard a cute story about a 6-year-old standing in the church lobby, and he's before a big board, and on that board were names of people. Next to their names were little American flags placed. And he was staring and asked the pastor, "Pastor, what does this mean?" And the pastor said, "Well, this is our memorial to young men and women who died in the service." And the young lad just stood there starry-eyed and a little shaken and looked up and said to the pastor, "What service did they pass away in, the 9 or 11 o'clock service?" So sometimes we have to be careful what we might envision or see what's going on. And we're going to believe that some things that are happening in our society, God's going to show us, because we're in a series, that series, Understanding Ways to Fight a Spiritual Enemy. It's going to be important that we get a chance to see that. It certainly is an eye-opener, especially with what we see globally going on. Because oftentimes we could often think that's just mere men, women that are in charge of things, but we recognize that's not the case. And we will be having communion at the end of this message. So if you could, let's gather our communion elements, because we're going to apply communion in a proper manner once again. And we're going to see, because today's message is entitled Our Spiritual Enemies Judged at the Cross. Judged at the Cross. So Ainsley and I, a few years back, had the privilege of going to Pearl Harbor. And we walked on the Arizona Memorial there. It's quite moving, quite touching. That was the beginning, the attack on Pearl Harbor, of us entering into World War II. What was fascinating, as you looked across the bay, you could see the battleship Missouri. It's now a museum, but the battleship Missouri held the ceremony of Japan signing the surrender. World War II ended right there, September 2nd, 1945. What's unique about that, battleship, that is where the war was won for us. One side lost, another side won. For followers of Jesus, believers in Christ, our site of victory is the cross. That's where it is. If you were going to take a look, it's right there where one side lost and Jesus won. That's why if you look around Hope Chapel, we really don't have any statuettes, not much fancy paintings, but we do have the cross. And that's dear and near to anybody who believes. And that's where the victory is won for us. Because of Jesus, it's going to be important to understand the significance of that event for you is a breakthrough. How does it begin? Well, Lord, open our hearts once again. Lord, we're going to hear things, but we may not catch it. We're going to see things, but we may not understand it unless you help us, Lord. And please do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at our first point. It's right there on your bulletin. It says that Satan and his demons were judged at the cross. Last time we were together, part one was that the spiritual realities. That was a given. We're not going to go there. We don't need to go there. It's very real. Now we're taking a look at man, the element of our own victory. But taking a look, what does that mean that Satan and his demons were judged at the cross? Letter A. Satan was not punishing Jesus by having him crucified. Let me just address that. There is thought out there in society that, that Satan's greater than Jesus and he took him out. Well, that's not the case at all. Matter of fact, Satan knew his time was coming and that Jesus was coming on the scene. He knew ever since the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman, going to take you out, serpent. So he knew. Right there in Genesis 3:15, something's going to happen. He's looking for that. So he realized there's going to be something that's going to be a stir. God's going to redeem people. So when we look here, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, they still didn't quite understand what was going on, especially elements of darkness over our planet. But verse 7 says, "No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." It is interesting to note that, boy, he knew, works of dark knew the cross, what it meant, trying to take Jesus out. You remember? How in Matthew chapter 2, how Herod was just livid over the wise men not delivering, where is that Christ child born? So he went in to Bethlehem and eradicated every child, male child, from 2 years and down. Remember the occasion, even when Jesus was in his own hometown, right there in Luke's gospel, where he's just taking a look at Nazareth, the people tried to push him off the cliff, but he walked right through. The areas with which even where works of darkness tried to tempt him in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, trying to thwart his plan of redemption. So we recognize the importance of that, that Jesus willingly went to the cross for us. But for those that might think that the cross was somehow Satan's idea, is absurd. Letter B, the cross was divine judgment. Let's take a look at that. Colossians again, chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and the authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So when we take a look here, it's interesting because when our sin was nailed to the cross, that satisfied the justice of God. Your sin went on the cross. And any time you ask God, forgive me, O Lord, power in the blood of Jesus. Something about that is so amazing. But if Scripture says here that that disarmed the works of Satan and the demons. It disarmed them, it says here, and shamed them. Now, what does that actually mean? The element here of disarming means they lost all power and authority over humanity. It's lost. It's lost. We'll talk about why it's still causing havoc. But for you who believe in Jesus, man, you're free. You're free. Everybody on this planet's free. Why don't they know about it? You and I need to go tell them. But been disarmed. They lost that. Lost what? Their ability to put a guilt trip on you or me because of what sin did to us. Man, sin's a devastating thing. Look what it's done to our planet through our father and mother, Adam and Eve. Look what sin has done to your family members. Look how it's painful. We think, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. It's just me. I'm telling you, I weep over those individuals who are homeless or houseless people. There's some mommy crying for their child still on the street. And I'm just doing my thing. Really? Sin's a devastating thing. But praise God, through the cross, it disarms all the power. They lost power and authority. It says they shamed them publicly. That's what Colossians says. He shamed them publicly by his victory on the cross. We take that, and it's interesting how the writers of the New Testament, because they knew how Rome paraded the vanquished right through Rome. There's something called the Arch of Titus. If you've seen that, you can take a look at that. It's quite a monument to the armies of Rome. And if you look, you'll actually even see over that there's carved in there where the Roman area of their army conquered Jerusalem. And they have carvings of the artifacts of the temple that they just plundered. The menorah, table of showbread, it's all on there. Just take a look at that. Interesting piece of information on there. But when we take a look, that Jesus publicly shamed them. To who? To all the angelic hosts, all the demons. They're literally just lost it all. Scripture says that. Powerful. So it's interesting where we see Jesus mentions in John chapter 12, verse 31, says that the time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. So comment was mentioned, what does that mean to be cast out? Why is there still such chaos and evil done? Well, that literal casting out means that works of darkness, Satan and his demons, refers to being removed from influencing on this planet. They're removed from that ability to do that anymore. They've lost their ability. Now, they're going to have a time, ultimately, and they know, that they're going to be thrown away completely, permanently, ultimately. And that's found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, where it says this is their ultimate outcome. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. We could go in and read that, but I just want to make some points. It's important for us to see that. So when making reference to Satan being removed from influence on the planet, it also mentions about the removal of his authority over this planet. I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus has authority. Yes. Yes. You and I have more strength and power than you actually might be aware of. And if you catch some of this, you're going to say, man, I'm going to walk it out in victory. It's so true. Yes. So true. So that's why some would say, well, how come it's simply not happening? That's why we're going through what we're going through in our study. So we know where they are ultimately going, Revelation says. Number two, what is Satan and his demons' current activity? So letter A, as you look at your notes, understand judgment gained versus a legal sentence carried out. Let's understand that just for a little bit, because the cross was judgment gained. We were declared now free, but that judgment on darkness that set it in motion, see, Satan and demons will ultimately lose out permanently. So when you take a look at something here that we're addressing, there's two differences. It's referencing then the aspect where Satan's full sentence and full consequences is yet to come. But let's explain why Satan and his demons are still active on the earth. Letter B, what's their current activity? Let's take a look. When we deal with some references here, it's worth noting because they still seek to influence, not only influence, but control on a global scale, and do this primarily three ways. Three ways. Here we go. Letter A, sublet A. They work in the hearts of unbelievers. They have no power. They just really want people to kind of like be their proxy. Have you heard that term? And that's how that works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So in dealing with this, remember, there's two kingdoms, just two. And we choose where we're going to live and operate in. Kingdom of God, or the kingdom of a fallen element that resides where works of darkness is. That's going to be important for us to recognize. Satan works in the hearts of unbelievers everywhere. I think that's what we're seeing in the global results that are happening on this planet. It's what's happening in Ukraine. It's what's happening in the Middle East. It's where we start to see our own political chaos at home. It's a spiritual kingdom. There are two kingdoms. Bible talks about that. There's an unseen realm. And these elements that are being affected physically, it really takes place in the spiritual. You say, well, how is there evidence of that? Well, write down Daniel chapter 10. Check it out. In Daniel chapter 10, you might want to highlight for a quick read verse 12 and verse 20. It says very clear there was battles going on between God's angels and demonic, seems like, creatures that have jurisdiction over nations. So you may want to read that. It's like, is that in the Bible? It really exists in the heavenlies. So when we take a look, it's important for us. And let's take a look at another activity, letter B. They blind people from the truth, even Christians. It's another one of their abilities. They seek to influence, remember, and control on a global scale. So this is the second way they do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So Satan and his angels are actively, intentionally, aggressively keeping back people from knowing the truth of God's love, power of the cross. Have you ever tried to just talk to somebody about a spiritual conversation about Jesus? When was the last time you actually really engaged somebody? Often you'll have somebody just, they'll either say, oh, boy, you sound fanatical, you'd like nuts. Or they could just say, you know, good for you. I'm glad you're religious. Just not for me. They just don't see that. They could come along and say, you know, that really is foolish. Or I was a part of, or don't we all believe in it? They just don't get it. It's an active effort to blind the eyes of people seeing and understanding. Don't you feel so good that somehow your eyes were open? Yeah. Somebody was praying for me years ago. I thank God somebody was praying for me. Who is that person? I know who those are. I go back to those old people that said, thank you for mentoring that little upstart rebellious kid that's having a birthday on Wednesday. Yeah. Anyway. Some are so polite about it. They are. But they they just don't get it. You know that. You can see that. I think the spiritual blindness is accelerating today. I think the persecution going on against the church of Jesus, people that are Jesus followers, is at a greater proportion. You don't see that in everyday newspaper. But if you go and you take a look at the persecuted church or the martyrdom of Christians, it's out there. It's big time. Don't you feel good about living in cozy, comfy Orange County? People need us. They need us to rise up. So biblical truth is being attacked. And if you start sharing Jesus and a little bit of an opinion, what the Bible says, it'll be declared hate speech. That's demonic too. And then it's interesting because now sinful behavior is being called woke. You're woke. It's also demonic. So another activity, number C, they create false teaching. Creating substitutes to God's truth. Taking a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says this, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. So Satan's always creating alternatives to believe in. He doesn't just blind people. They didn't get it. Then they go off on some redirection, some alternative path that you know is like, no. Why? How did they get there? Because he's the father of lies. Yes. There's no truth in him.
That's right.
If he's going to speak, watch out. You'll know when you're in the realm of something that's wrong. It's like, whoa, this sounds like it's maybe true, but I know this is, something's wrong here. It's a lie. And he's the father of lies. Be careful about that. What we see, all of these cultural shifts in our society, it's demonic in nature. All the aggressive pushes toward gender identity or sexual orientation or the exploitation of children or the removal of punishment for criminals or drug users, it's all demonic. The area where we come along and we see political polarization, that's demonic in nature too.
Yes, it is.
Be careful about jumping onto politics like that. Something is there that's not of the Lord. We're to pray for our leaders, even the ones you may not agree with. They need your prayers, not your venom. So it's going to be important we get a chance. Satan wants people to believe that they're being enlightened and awakened. And they're called woke. I think that's almost, they're really actually in this deep sleep, this spiritual induced coma. They can't see it. You see those people out there. They need your prayers. It's going to be a spiritual breakthrough. Number three, how does Satan's judgment affect the life of followers of Jesus? Let's take a look. Letter A, we have been delivered from Satan's kingdom. I like Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. This is where it's important for us. We take a look at our victory, where that is. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. Remember, there's only two kingdoms we can be a part of. So Jesus rescued us. He brought us out from the dark areas that we were. Some of you have been in some dark settings in your upbringing. He brought us into his kingdom of his Son. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. It's like Jesus said, to whom much has been forgiven, the same loves much. It's so wonderful and rich. But never forget, and that's the beauty of communion, never forget the kingdom we align our lives with. Don't ever forget that. We should say, man, I feel like, the more I live, I feel like I really don't belong here in this earth. I'm just a sojourning here. For you who are laying stakes in the ground and say, man, this is all there is. Wow. I do recognize for some people this is going to be the only heaven they'll ever experience because they don't have Jesus. For some of us who are really getting nailed and our lives are going through the fan, this will be the only hell you'll ever experience. So, man, it's so important. We get a chance to recognize we really are a part of another kingdom. Never forget that. Citizens of heaven, we are strangers and aliens. And it's important. This is not the final destination. And you can always tell when a person really feels like it is. They're not generous. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's the beauty of contributing to society. Giving to missions, that's why we do missions. That's why we do what we do, to get the gospel out there. Who wants to hoard what we can't take? I'd rather send on a blessing and advance the kingdom of God. Letter B, we have protection and authority. When you look here at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, it says this so clearly. It says, for we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely. And the evil one cannot touch them. Cannot touch them. So I just want to let you know, this is important because so many of us think that if I just kind of like do the right thing, or maybe I'll put on the full armor of God, I'm going to protect myself. Are you kidding? We're talking the cross. Battle won there. Yes. Somebody lost. Yes. Jesus won. We won. Come on. Yes. Come on. Yes. So to think I got to do just the right thing at the right time and it's all up to me. Oh, man, no wonder why. Feel like you hit a wall. Be careful. Now, how does that mean that he cannot touch us? Well, there's an element of positional, and then there's an element of practical. Let's explain that, because our standing before God, that is the positional. Man, I accept Jesus. There is nothing that's going to rip that relationship away. Nothing. We're right with God through Jesus. The blood of Christ is so important. That's positionally. We're secure. Our relationship with God is secure. Oh, I love that. When we sing about it and talk about it, it's like, yes, that's me. That is me. But practically, that is an everyday issue that needs to be reminded, because Satan will come along and try to influence even believers in Jesus to pursue us with false ideas. Yeah. To continue to try to get us out of touch with the Spirit of God and to put confidence in our human flesh. That's where the protection falls away. Kind of lost control of that. We allow sin to take hold in our hearts and our minds, and we give enemy access to influence our lives. So protection is conditional. The condition being, man, walk it out with God, live with God. The relationship is solid. Amen. But be careful. Be careful. I do have people that come along and say, well, you know, does God tempt us? And thank you for those questions. Well, temptation never comes from God. That's right. Well, they would ask, that's the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Does God tempt us? No. What that refers to, and if you remember the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's in the Lord's Prayer. It's very real. It's a very real agent going on. But it's more deliver us around those areas that you know are the triggers in my life. Clear me around. Don't let me go. Keep me. Put a pause on it. Help me. But let's see what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13. Because it's helpful when the Bible speaks, don't you? I like that. James 1, 13. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God has tempted me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. What's the process of this? Can you see that? First of all, temptation that's listed here, temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was a perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 4 says, never without sin. So to be tempted is not a sin. But you can see here, when it comes, it starts to gnaw at our desires. And we get drawn away from that protection. And then we do the sin. And it brings death. And you're like, what happened? I thought God was with me. Well, what steps did we take to draw out? It's like this beautiful, like, bunker. Nothing can touch you. Yeah. And then the little carrots out front of the opening, and we go after it. And then the carrot gets dragged further out. And we take hold of that. We wonder, how come we got our little hinies kicked? Because we were drawn away and enticed. I have some of my brothers come along and say, man, I got so tempted, I just had to go and do the thing. What do you mean you do the thing? Well, I feel better after I do it. Why do you do it? Takes the pressure off the temptation. Oh, are you kidding me? How do you feel about that? I feel lousy. Why don't you beat that temptation? Temptation is not a sin. They think, since I'm tempted, I might as well just do it. Be careful, be careful. So we also have spiritual authority in Jesus. You do not have to be succumbing to those temptations. We're sons of God. Some of us, we still think that we're orphans and we don't have our identity. Be careful about that. Man, we've been brought in. We are now sons and daughters of the King. You are something that's really exceptional. Very dangerous when we allow our flesh to operate our life, being born again, but yet we've never learned or never want to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. And works of darkness would like to maintain that you do not understand your spiritual identity as a son or daughter of God. So be careful about that. Hard to try to keep your spiritual security. People who are Christians feel very spiritually insecure. They don't know their identity. What we just said to you is so important. You should at least say, Lord, show me who I am. Because people I know are at stake. Set me free. Walk in that to set other people free. Letter C, we have victory over our enemy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children, and have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Praise God. Victory is our birthright as sons and daughters. Victory. So I don't feel very victorious. Well, it's a new day now for you. Amen. That's your birthright as one who's been adopted by God, brought in, redeemed. Our daily victory, though, is a process. It's important for us. What would that victory that we have over? Well, just three. Here it is. Victory over our flesh. Victory over the world. And victory, then, over all the satanic influences. You don't have to go those directions. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to watch it on your television or smartphone. You don't. You have victory over that. And remember, victory is conditional based upon our cooperation. Allow the Holy Spirit, which we just went through a whole series of it. Remember, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's that device that says, return to root, return to root, return to root. It's a beautiful thing. We can cooperate. Number four, and what would be then, how do we cooperate? Here we go. Because we've got two more great rounds of this next Sunday too. And number four, we must remain spiritually alert. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So letter A, remember Satan and his demons still have great power. They do. They just do. I've heard people say, that Satan's just nothing but a toothless lion. Really? Why is it called a great enemy? And why are we to stay alert if he's like gumming us? So be careful. Don't nod off to sleep. It's going to be important. Why would we need to be alert? Because there's billions of demons out there. Somebody acknowledge where the scripture says that there is an angel for every star or planet. And there's billions of planets and billions of galaxies. Space is immense. Eternity is forever. There's a lot out there. Yes. So we take a look here. Let's take and understand. B, give priority to God's word. See, deception is one of the major tactics of evil spirits. If you don't know the word, then you're going to be one that's going to be held captive. Be careful about that and watch out. It's important. Sign up for Wednesday church. Get into Wednesday church. It would be good to do that. Even if you just can't maintain, just get into that environment where the word of God is coming. Don't ever say, I don't need more than Sunday morning. Get into the word of God. Otherwise, you're going to be held captive. Take captive by what? His lies. His lies will come. His lies will be set before you. But you'll never be able to identify a counterfeit unless you kind of know the truth. It's how they used to treat and train bank tellers. They would play with the real bills. So when they bogus bill came, they this doesn't feel like the real deal. Now they have a pen that they just swipe over that to see the acetone on the inks. But it's important. Know the truth. Because there is a lot of lies that are out there. And as those lies become popular, the pressure is going to be upon you to make a further decision. It is very clear nowadays. It used to be, we were talking 15 years ago, we were saying there will come a time when you could tell the people of God versus the element of ungodly people. It's going to be that drastic. People at work, at school, do they know you're a Christian? Have you let them know? It's important. They need to know where the Christians are found because some of them are struggling. So it's going to be important. Letter C, give priority to prayer. You know, it's important too. We're finding that, well, like in any battle, lines of communication are critical for success. If you don't have communication in the battlefield, there's a tactical advantage the evil has. Prayer is your line of communication. If you are not praying, there's an advantage that evil has against you. It's through prayer that we find out what is going on in our life. James 1 says, when you're going into trials, why don't you ask God for wisdom? What's going on, God, so I can cooperate? Have you ever just asked that, Lord? What is going on? Who sent this my way? So that's going to be important. Keep you from praying, keeping you from the lines of communication, because God leads us that way. God speaks to us. He gives us discernment. He shows us how to apply the word of God. So it's going to be important for us, and influence is going to be really important to pray. So keep that up. You say, well, why is that important? Well, read Daniel chapter 10. Just read Daniel chapter 10. Prayer influences the spiritual battlegrounds that rages above your head. So glad with what's going on in our chapel prayer time. It's pretty awesome. People will say, well, am I praying enough? I don't know if I'm even praying right. That's why I just don't do it. Man, just do it. Just pray. I find most do. We just pray. Good things happen. We don't even know if we prayed long enough. We don't even know if we prayed right. There's just something about being in the presence of Almighty God. Don't stop. Don't stop. Letter D, learn to recognize the enemy's tactics and activities. The more we learn of God's word and the more we are consistent with prayer, you will find when a temptation's coming your way. You'll find. I have two ways that I know I am being attacked by demonic creatures. Here they are, in case you're interested. One is, I look for specifics of the attack. Specifics would be, for me, it's going after my weaknesses. Yep. My weaknesses may not be the same as your weakness, and vice versa. So I realize, whoa, this is right now, and they just wait. They just wait. We have good meaning brothers, sisters in the Lord. Say, every time I get close to God, I feel like I'm under attack. Well, that's when we get more right standing with God, we start to see more evil. Sometimes when people are just vegetating with God, evil's all around. It doesn't change anything. You just don't see it. The second thing, not only am I looking for specifics of the attack, but the timing of that temptation. The struggles and all of a sudden the barriers that can come. Sometimes people just randomly come at you or me. Like, whoa, this is timing is just, this is wild. So when you take a look, the timing of those temptations, are they triggering something in you? Did it trigger? You're under attack. Trying to go at your weak element of your human flesh. And then finally, two more. Letter E, stay connected to the Holy Spirit. We did a whole series on the Holy Spirit. Get back on that. Check it out. That's why we did that first. It's important. Spirit in us and not our flesh. Don't let your flesh have operational responsibility. We are finding that well-meaning, born-again Christians, when they let the flesh control them, they become like infiltrators into the camps of the Christians. Pretty problematic. So let's be careful about that and watch those things. Don't let Satan use you like this. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. And then letter E, stay connected relationally to each other. Praise the Lord. Get into a life group. No Lone Ranger Christians ever survive for very long. Some of you know that. Some of you are making your way back into church. You haven't been in church. We're glad you're here. We're glad your first entrance was here at Hope Chapel, but many of you haven't been to church since childhood. And sometimes we just didn't realize what was going on, and sin took us out further than we wanted to go and longer than we wanted to stay away. So the battle rages on, but you're victorious. Praise God. Satan's been judged at the cross, but we need to live a spiritually alert life and experience victory. Amen?
Amen.
Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's enjoy this element. Let's remember this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's remember this communion. Let's remember this communion. Get your elements out. What kingdom we align our lives with? My life is in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I live for him. So do you. And we're taking that wafer now, and we're going to lift that up. Take your bread. We're going to celebrate for you who believe that God came in human form to take the punishment that was due me, so that the guilt I deserve to feel is no longer. The shame I should be feeling should not be there. Jesus took that. Therefore, I believe, and if you hold your wafer up with me, you believe that too. I'm a part of God's kingdom. I was set free from the kingdom of darkness. Nothing, I have nothing to do with that. I'm God's answer to people held in darkness. Use me, Lord. Let's snap that way for now, shall we? And would you participate with me? We peel back and expose our juice today. Aren't we grateful? We go on just a little bit more. Colossians 1:13-14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And by him they consist. The same Jesus that holds this whole structure together died on the cross for you. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. I identify with another king. I've been adopted. This is not just like get rid of my sins for the day till I go and like bear it again. No way. No way. I am victorious and you are too. And where was that winning of the battle? Right on the cross. Somebody lost. Jesus won. And he said, come on in. You're going to walk in victory now. Let's enjoy that together. Would you join me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Our worship band's going to lead us in our song and close things out.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.